At Experian.co.uk, we know being single's no fun. That's why we do everything we can to help you meet your ideal match, your data self.
Until I met my data self, I had no idea which credit card was right for me. He was able to show me the ones I was eligible for before I even applied. It really has changed my life.
Find out how your data self could help you make better financial decisions at Experian.co.uk. Experian Limited is a credit broker, not a lender working with selected lenders.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros,
welcome back to another edition of Leaving the Ring Radio. It's Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. I hope everybody's enjoying their Friday, moving on into their weekend. Like yourself, been busting ass over here. So I apologize for Monday. I saw that Gabriel had to go on a one-man band, but was had a speedy recovery with two callers that came on. It was a great show, Gabriel. It was really good. Actually, I sat there and enjoyed it. I was like, wow, man. Okay. I see, now we have two guys that can replace me. I felt kind of bad. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, I'm going to start a politics show with Fernando from Richmond.
Well, I think I'm going to have to start a Leaving the Ring contender show, you know? See, for the new seating to replace Dave Duenas here on Leaving the Ring. But so really quick, let's catch up to speed really on some news that have come out. The WBO at 8 a.m. Received an email from the WBO saying they had advised both parties, which is Eddie Hearn and Bob Arum, Matchroom Boxing Promotions and Top Rank Boxing, they have 20 days upon receipt of this letter to negotiate an agreement for the WBO junior welterweight title bout between junior welterweight champion Maurice Hooker and mandatory challenger Alexis Cholo Salcido. Now, if they don't, you know, if it's not reached within the time frame, the person will be ordered by the WBO regulations of world championship contests. The minimum acceptable bid for the WBO junior welterweight division is $150,000. Now, both parties that are involved, they can request a purse bid at any time during negotiation process. So you have 20 days. Now, in the same rankings for the WBO, you had Billy Saunders and Demetrius Andrade had a purse bid as well. Theirs ended on the 25th, which was Wednesday. I haven't heard anything back about it. I don't know if you have, but their minimum was $200,000.
I don't know what the money is, but I know the fight's been made. Right. Now we're just trying to figure out a date. So we'll see, you know, I'm curious to see how this plays out.
Yeah. I heard they were thinking of Rhode Island, right? That's what they were saying.
Yeah.
That was a possible site.
The Dunkin' Donuts arena, I believe.
Yeah.
in Rhode Island, and, you know, I like me some Dunkin' Donuts, but, yeah, I'm curious. If somebody had thrown out a date, I think it was Lance Pugmire threw out a date, but then someone else said, well, there's a semi-pro league or, you know, amateur hockey league playing that night, so that maybe it's the week after. I don't know. You know, show me an Al Heyman. Actually, Al Heyman's not involved in this one. So
no.
It's kind of weird. I was like, that sounds like an Al Heyman kind of venue, you know? But, I'm curious. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be an exciting fight. I wish Vegas would put these kind of bets down. Is fight going to be boring or not? Because I would bet the house that fight's not going to be exciting at all.
Well,
and, you know.
Yeah, and Andrade's obviously a very talented fighter. But is he a guy that's going to bring that entertainment value? Is he must-see TV? No. I think you have to have the right opponent in front of him to kind of create that explosion when he steps in the ring. B.J. Saunders is not the guy. B.J. Saunders is the dance partner who's going to want to do a little bit more ballroom dancing than create some salsa in there. So, yeah, it's one of those chess match, no checkers type of matches. But I'm still intrigued by it. I still want to watch that fight for sure. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, I do. And, you know, and Andre is a guy that it's like it's time now. You either are going to get it done, and, you know, he's had a title, but he lost it. And, I mean, he just gets in his own way with the people he decides to do business with. Now he's made a good move, good signing with Eddie Hearn, who's a solid promoter, who's going to do some things for him. Obviously, you know, here it is right off the bat. They've got this fight going. But, you know, is he going to have a career? You know, the window for a fighter, once they get to that top level and get a belt to make money, is very short.
Very.
You know, I mean, some guys, they can extend it for a long time. I mean, you got to keep winning, right? But I mean, this guy, I like him a lot. I mean, I met him out here. He trained at the Snack Gym in San Carlos, got to spend a little time, do a video on him. Really good guy. But, you know, it's just kind of always something with him. You know, he comes out for a while, then, we don't have enough sparring, so I go back. I've seen he's done had a few trainers, a few, you know, promotional issues, management issues. Now that the issue is kind of settled and he's with an established promoter, I'd like to see him settle in and reach that level that his talent says he could be at, you know?
Right. That's the key thing, is that he had the talent for everything to enter in the ring. But the talent outside the ring, which is promoter, just wasn't there. You know, Star Boxing just couldn't seem to get their act together in terms of getting dates and to keep their fighter active, to keep their fighter out there in the front for the media and fans to see what this kid's all about. If anything, you heard from him and then you didn't hear from him for another year or so. So that's that. I hope, you know, like I said, it's an intriguing match. It's not going to be a barn burner. Don't expect that. But then again, sometimes when you get, you know, styles make fights. And B.J. Saunders is getting a little older, but I don't see him slowing down, especially his performance against David Lemieux. But David Lemieux is a different monster. Guy walks forward, can be sound, can gas out, sometimes kind of gets, get caught sleepwalking. And B.J. Saunders was able to capitalize that. Demetrius is a Andrade is a completely different animal to tame. So it is an interesting fight. Hey, September 14, Jose Ramirez is going to defend his WBC 140 title against unbeaten challenger Antonio Orozco, Resentless. What do you think about that match?
Not much. I mean, you know, Antonio Orozco, he's, you know, unbeaten, but he's lost a couple times at the scales, has he not? You know, he's 30 years old. If he's going to do it, you know, get to that next level, it just seemed like he kind of, you know, he had one fight last year. He's had one fight this year.
Yeah, tips the scale and he falls right off. That's not even in part to his weight. But, I mean, in overall his career, you hear of him, you see him perform. Some of his performances are not rememberable, if anything, honestly. None of his performance really stand out in my head right now. And that's because of the inactivity that comes from his side.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine this is a, you know, it's the voluntary defense. It's going to make for, you know, an exciting matchup. He's a, you know, he's a tough guy. He's going to throw a lot of punches. He's going to be there to be hit. I think it's a good move. You know, we always say the money's in the defenses, not in the actually just winning the title. So this is a good defense. You know, they're going to do it at the Save Mart Center in Fresno, California. That looks to be, September 14th. I think people are going to be very excited about that fight. You know, people are going to come out to see that fight and see Jose Ramirez at home. I'm thinking, you know, if I don't have anything going, I think we should probably go see that fight and get that experience. That could be a fun one. But, I mean,
is it
at the same time,
Antonio Orozco, is he the best name on Jose Ramirez's resume?
Yeah, it's a pretty game, although he hadn't done a whole lot, you know, and had that loss and hadn't really, you know, I guess so. I mean, it's the most recognizable name, I guess. But I mean, if I have to kind of go,
I think in terms of fundamentals, Orozco, he does have it. I mean, he's a tough kid. He can box. He can fight in the inside. He does have good footwork when he applies it. He could take a good shot, as so far what we've been able to see. You know, overall, this could be – I think this is the battle test for Top Rank to find out whether Jose Ramirez is ready to move move forward, seek the other champions that are in it, that are unfortunately in the World Boxing Series tournament. But I mean, I think this is a confidence build, not just for Ramirez's team, but for Top Rank, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's going to be a win. I don't see Orozco winning, you know, unless Ramirez just doesn't keep his eye on the ball, but he just seems like a very focused guy, always in shape. He's changed trainers. So we'll see, you know, he wanted more, attention. So he went to Robert Garcia, moved away from Freddie Roach, which is strange because like everybody's moving away from Freddie Roach. So you would think that you would actually get more attention from Freddie Roach. Maybe it was, it's his career. I'm curious to see it, you know, what the fight's going to be like. I think it's all action. And I think also, you know, Jose is a guy that is going to go rounds at the top level. He doesn't really have that eraser, you know. So it's about activity, landing the right shots at the right time. I could see this fight going the distance. But, you know, he might be, you know, maybe they're the same cut from the same cloth. But the difference is Ramirez keeps his head on straight. And what it sounds like is Antonio Orozco doesn't. So we're going to see. This is Orozco's chance to kind of erase the sins of the past, you know, and that inactivity and get it at the top level. So it could be a great bout.
Well, I'll end it with this, is that what you just mentioned, the one thing that we've always noticed and throughout history, what we've seen is that the full-time fighter is always going to beat the part-time fighter.
Yeah, that's very true.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard the name Rolando Romero? Have you guys heard that name yet?
No.
Neither have I until today. They call him Rolly. And he posted a video of him sparring Ryan Garcia. And if you saw this, I think it was Fight Hub or somebody. I believe it was Fight Hub. That followed this kid Rolly and I forgot the other kid. The Lopez kid that just recently fought, hurt his hand. And they followed him walking up to Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia and Rolly had an exchange of words. There's some really heated, it was like, a real grudge between the two. So I guess what happened is Ryan Garcia had posted some snips of his sparring with Rolly and kind of just showed when he had the upper hand. So the kid Rolly decides to release both sparring sessions that were over 20 minutes. You got to check this out, man. I'll tweet this right now. And you got to make your decision who do you think won that sparring. But again, you know, it's always sparring. But sometimes sparring is able to tell you a little bit more about that fighter or what they need to work on. And if you end up seeing the same thing that the fighter does when he does step into the real action that has to happen that night, that tells you a lot about that fighter. And all I can say is with Ryan, dude, you need to be a better trainer. Like, seriously, there's a lot of stuff there that I literally sat there and go, bro, do you only know two punches? What is going on? So I'm not going to get too much into this. Maybe we'll get into this again next week here, Gable, because you haven't seen it. I thought you would have seen it. I'll send it to you right now. And, but yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting.
I see it on. I looked it up, and it's I'll tell you why I didn't see it. It's because it's on ES News, and that's on there.
Right, right. No, see, he put that on there, but the kid Rowley had his own. He has his own YouTube account, and that's why I saw it.
Gotcha.
That's why I actually took real interest in it, because when I see,
he's a Cuban.
Is he? See, that's what I'm telling you. I don't know much about the kid.
Yeah, Hustle Boss. When you look up his name, Cuban prospect Rolando Romero does an interview with Hustle Boss, who I really like. So I'll have to check him out. I'll give that a look. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm not that impressed with Ryan Garcia. I think he's, I wouldn't say he's a knockout waiting to happen, because I don't think they're going to put him in with anybody like that just yet.
No.
But if he doesn't develop, I mean, you know, he just could be, you know, he's a guy with a nice social media following right now, and he knows how to play it. But, you know, he's got a good right hand. He's got some power, but he's also facing guys he's supposed to beat. Yeah.
Yep.
But, I mean, let's see some real shit.
You know, when I'm watching the kid, my thing is when you have three things, okay, in my opinion, if you're going to be a fighter, you have to have these three things. You have to have speed. You got to have power, and you got to understand distance. Okay. You know, and then what you try to do is you try to mix that all up, and then you try to add like, hey, when you when's the right time to do some rest in there, between the seconds and the minutes of the round, how to put things together, how to put the combos together, understand why you're throwing particular punches. When you watch Ryan, what I watch is a kid that I ask, I'm like, has he ever had a real amateur career? Have they really honestly tried to put everything together? Do they, like the trainers, do they even really understand how to put things together for this kid? Because the sad part is that he does kind of have the three most important things to have as a fighter. It just doesn't seem like he knows how to utilize it, you know, correctly yet. He's been lucky because, like you said, he's beating guys he's supposed to beat. But now comes the fundamentals of it. Now comes the IQ of him and his team. They're the ones that got to have to put everything together. You know what I mean? So right now, because right now what I'm looking at is not a clear roadmap. I see a bunch of scribbling, you know, on the wall from them. And I don't know what to make out of it yet. Because he does have certain things that you go, wow. There's a wow factor to him. You know, like, ooh, when the left hook gets thrown. And even in the sparring session with Rowley, he lands a beautiful left hook on him. But nothing was ever followed behind that. You know what I mean? It was like, throw it, make it look good, but then stop and don't do anything after that. And that's not the way you're supposed to develop or kind of mold a fighter. You mold a fighter, if you want to go back, look at last Saturday, Usyk, that's the way you mold a fighter. A guy that understands his weaknesses, his strengths, a guy that knew how to rest in certain points in the round, a guy that knew how to utilize his jab and then know when to let his hands go in combinations, but then get out of there. I mean, those are the things that you want to see and make a fighter understand. You just don't let a fighter go in there and go, okay, throw your two best punches and then hopefully you'll land one, as Garcia found out that's not the way it works. But anyways, we got some good fights here to talk about, preview here on Leaving the Ring. Again, we'll touch base on some of the stuff we mentioned maybe next week. If you think I'm ragging on Ryan Garcia, you're absolutely right. I am, because I hate to see a talent get wasted. And you know what? It's not him that kind of bothers me. And I was talking to Gabriel about this last week. I was like, you know, there's got to come a time where you got to start blaming these trainers. You got to, you know, you can't just throw everything on the fighter, because yes, the fighter's the only guy out there, but don't forget, coaches are supposed to be like the tower guys. They're the ones supposed to oversee everything and look at things that the fighter can't see because they're in the action. They're the ones supposed to take a stand back and go, oh, yeah, you know what, he's doing this, or he's doing this. You know what he's doing is he's pitting at it, and then he's turning you, and then he's throwing a hard shot. So, you know, I was sitting, and I was telling you this, Gary, I was sitting there, and I was watching the fight. And I asked my dad, I go, hey, because I was watching with him. I said, what do you think is missing? What do you see that's missing that the trainers are not doing? And my dad laughed and looked at me and goes, they don't look like they watch tape of the guy who they're going to fight.
Yeah, Regis Progre actually talks about that. He likes to watch the classic fighters. He doesn't watch tape of his opponent. And I've had guys say that over the years to me, that they leave it to the trainer, and the trainer prepares them for the guy. The trainer watches. Like, Freddie watches all the tape, and Manny doesn't. But, like, you know, every once in a while, Manny will, if Freddie wants to show him something. But generally, that relationship was about the trainer breaking down the tape and preparing them for what they were going to see, for the tendencies.
Right.
These are the openings that keep happening. I can understand that. I don't really, you know, because the fighters that don't watch tape will always say, well, I don't want to go in there expecting one thing and then another thing happens, which I can understand. But I don't know. For me, I like to be as prepared as possible. You know, if we're talking about fights, I've watched tapes. I know what I'm talking about. You know, it seems strange to get in there. If you have a wealth of knowledge available to you, why would you get in there and then be like, you know, because you only have, you know, 4, 8, 10, 12 rounds to get the job done. If there's tape available of the guy, you know, why do you want to waste time in the event trying to figure shit out? It's like, if I learned all my lines, but I decided I didn't practice at all. You know, I just memorized them and went out there and like, you know, in front of an audience, I'm just going to figure out how I'm going to do this. I don't know. It doesn't really, you know, some guys, I guess, maybe like that. To me, that just seems like you're completely unprepared and you can't reach the full potential of what you could have done if you'd have fully prepared. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense. But, you know, I'm just a guy in a chair talking on the radio.
Oh, I know. All right, man, let's move into our preview. Let's, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of looking forward to the Mikey Garcia and Robert Easter Jr. fight.
Yeah. So this is, Saturday night. Nothing on Friday, which is fine. I'm kind of just chilling. We're talking the fights tonight. Saturday, July 28th, though, Staples Center, Los Angeles, California. About 5 minutes from where I used to live. I used to love fights at the Staples because I could, like, leave at the second and just, like, roll up, and it was awesome. Mikey Garcia on Showtime versus Robert Easter Jr., lightweights. It's a unification bout, 12 rounds. They're fighting for the WBC and the IBF World Lightweight title. I mean, that's another one of the glamour divisions. You know, you got the lightweights, you got the welters, you got the heavies, and you know, the king of the little guys, the middleweights. I love me some lightweights. This fight, it's just a crazy matchup. You got 5'6", 68-inch reach, Mikey Garcia against 5'11", with a 76-inch reach, Robert Easter, who looked pretty damn gaunt at the weigh-ins today. He weighed in at 134.5. Mikey was right on the nose at 135. He's coming down from his last bout where he was at 140. You know, this is styles make fights. Now, you got, you know, Kevin Cunningham is now in the corner of Robert Easter Jr. I don't know how much he can change in one fight. But, you know, Cunningham is a very experienced ring general, knows how to get guys. These guys are always in shape. They're always ready, and they always have a great game plan. Now, can he get Robert Easter Jr. to use his jab, to use his natural advantage in this of 5 inches difference? You know, that it's strange that he doesn't have the reach advantage here. Mikey is he does. Mikey's got a 68-inch reach. This dude's got a 76-inch reach advantage. Mikey should not be able to get inside on him. It just shouldn't happen.
But he will.
But he will.
And I'll give you the reasons why he will. One is that Robert Easter, for one, tends to forget that he's got a jab and a long reach. But then when he does jab, if you go back and watch tape on him, when he does jab, Gabriel, what he does is he jabs, he doubles the jab. But unlike tall guys, like if you go back and look at Lennox Lewis, he would double the jab, but then took a half step back to counter, which he would throw his straight right. Robert Easter doesn't do that. He doubles the jab, moves forward, and then he stays there, which allows the shorter guy to counter with their right hand and land. That's Robert Easter's problem. The other problem that Robert Easter has is that he likes to drop his hands low and use his height to go to the body. And he leaves all that extra opening there for you to decide to come over the top and land on him. He's been successful, though, working the body. Because he does, for a fairly tall, big guy, he does fight in the inside fairly well. Not great. Not Diego Corrales well, but he does okay. When he traps you against the ropes, he's done some of his better work right there. We've seen it. My concern, though, is that he's going to fight a guy that is going to match you for one, the body work. But he's going to overmatch you with his jab. You know, the only thing I can think that where Robert can get away with and take advantage with Mikey Garcia is that Mikey tends to get left hook, right hook happy sometimes. If he sees he can land on you, he'll open up. And if you see that when he fought like the likes of Rocky Martinez, which Rocky Martinez was taller too. Not as tall as Robert Easter, but he was taller. Mikey was trying to open up with a left hook, right hook, and he got caught with a straight right, which dropped him. It was a flash knockdown. I can't remember if it was really he was really hurt, but he was able to come back and kind of dominate that remainder of the round of the minute. Robert could do something. Could have Mikey walk in if Mikey gets over his elbows and decides to try to open up with a left hook, right hook, and do it over. But the thing is that Mikey's balance and the way he turns on his punches, they don't have that visual catch where you go like, wow, this guy looks like a power puncher. You know, Mikey doesn't carry that. But those are thumping shots when he does land, because they're not like super fast. They're just so accurate and they're on point that's where it causes the damage. And Robert's going to have to keep his distance with Mikey. Cause to me, allowing Mikey to close that distance, which he's going to do, unless Cunningham fixed that, which I doubt, it's going to be on Mikey Garcia's party.
Yeah, Easter, you know, he's had some tough bouts. You know, he really lets guys come right in the kitchen and make themselves a sandwich and make themselves right at home. He doesn't use that size. It's almost like a Paul Williams in that way, you know. Paul right. would fight small, or a Dave Corrales, you know, but he's got that long reach. I have to believe that Kevin Cunningham was like, dude, you're fighting all wrong. And it's going to, you know, can you do it in one fight? Usually takes about three fights to get all that muscle memory in there. But we'll see. He seemed to be really happy in the camp that he was in. But, you know, you go back to the Richard Comey fight back in September of 2016, tough fight. And, you know, a rugged guy that would come in fight on him. With the distance with Luis Cruz, Denis Shapokov, and the Javier Fortuna fight was like a split decision, you know. These were not the greatest performances, and these are guys that he should have dominated from the outside, and he didn't quite do that, you know. Shapokov more so, but you know, Javier Fortuna was able to get inside and kind of rough him up at times and make it a tough bout. I just think that Mikey Garcia is on another level in terms of ring IQ. He's not trying to figure out the pieces of the puzzle and how to make his body work with, you know, and turn it into a winning strategy. This guy's traversed all the way up to 140. He's come down to 135. I am curious to see what that, you know, process is going to do for him, although he's young.
Right.
And you know, I think that he's going to be able to, well, at 30, you know, we'll see if his body's going to be, you know, is going to recover. I imagine he will. But that's really the key for me is can Robert Easter make him pay coming inside? And even then, you know, he's 21-0, 14 knockouts. He's not known as a knockout guy. He went the distance in his last like four fights. So, you know, I don't expect him to knock out Mikey. Now, Mikey at 135, is he a lights out killer? Dejan Jatiklinen, certainly you think so. You know, that's to me, I think that Mikey still has his power at 135. I think he's still dangerous. But the main thing he's got is his speed. And he's got that just innate sense of range, the perfect distance to be at to land his shots. And like you said, he throws shots and you're not like, oof, man, if he had landed that, it would have been over. I think it's his relaxation, his smooth technique that really makes his power. It gives it that snap and catches you unawares. I think he's going to slowly break down Robert Easter and slowly figure out how to get inside and work. But you know, the first few rounds are going to be the first three rounds are going to be very telling with Easter. Is it going to be a jabbing contest? And is Mikey going to be able to land some sort of counter off of that jab? Is it going to be the lazy double jab that you're talking about that you could follow back in with a right? Or is it going to be a snapping jab that, that pushes Mikey back? You know, and when Mikey gets in close, is Easter going to, you know, grab him and walk him back and use his size and his strength? How much is Easter going to blow up in weight? You know, is he going to be the much, like, notice bigger guy? Or is he going to be kind of a reed in there and that Mikey's going to be more like a fireplug, just kind of pounding away at him? I can't wait to see this fight because it's got a lot of questions around it.
You know, the one thing that if you stand back and you look, okay, what did Cunningham, what could he have fixed? One thing is if you're going back to trainers, they need to watch tape on their fighters. Mikey Garcia, if you watch Mikey Garcia's jab, it's very educated. What he does is that Mikey jabs in the way you're supposed to, which is you in order to set your guy up for your straight right or overhand right, is your jab's got to be – it's got to have authority behind it, okay, which is you glide the guy's feet to go backwards, and then what happens is eventually the feet get confused. And what I mean by that is you jab him, he goes backwards, and he stops because that's what he's used to. A lot of guys, you know, when you're in the gym and you're doing hand mitts, I've always noticed this, that the guys will be like, okay, I'm going to jab at you. You stop so you can counter. That's what they'll tell you, right? I'm going to jab at you. You're going to take two steps back, hold your ground, and counter. Watch Mikey Garcia. He knows you're going to do that. So he jabs, one, two, and right there, right when he's pulling that jab back, he slides in that right hand, and it connects every time. Very strategic, very intelligent, the way he sets it up, the way he does it. If you go on watch him, then you're going to know some of the things that he's going to do to get you trapped, get your feet confused. And that's where you got to look at, okay, he's going to push me back with that jab, and I got to set a trap up by making him believe my feet are going to get confused, and instead I'm going to pivot out of the way, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to line up my right shoulder with his chin. So when he throws his right's going to go right over my right shoulder, and my right hand's going to go right into his chin. It's very hard to do, but that's why I pour in a watch tape of another fighter who you're going to fight. You know, what is a good thing, a good strategy or a good trait that Mikey Garcia does, this is what we mean by nummifying it, taking that their best weapon away. When you do that, then it makes them now have to...
One of the weaker links. Although, you know, Lipinets actually turned out to be a pretty tough link. You know, then they came back down, and you go, what are they going to do with this? And now, you know, they pick up this belt. Wouldn't mind seeing, a Raymundo Beltran fight down the line if he's successful in his next bout. 135 is nice, you know. And you've got Vasyl Lobachenko there at 135, although he's hoping for a Pacquiao fight. Although it's funny to hear Richard Schaefer saying, you know, I'd really like to see Mikey Garcia take on Manny Pacquiao. And I'm like, I bet you Bob Arum would really like to give you a double middle finger for even thinking that. So if you Google Top Rank and Richard Schaefer, I imagine you're not going to come up with chocolates and roses.
Holding hands down the yellow brick road. You ain't going to see that. It's going to be more like Top Rank singing. Ding dong, the witch is dead.
exactly. Like, you're just another Al Heyman frontman, dog. Sorry. Bye. Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
So, yeah, you're going Mikey Garcia, I take it?
I'm going Mikey Garcia by late TKO. I think, as Battling Duenas on Twitter said, body shot. I see that happening. Reason is because, you know, the body's going to be the most vulnerable part of Easter. Whereas same thing with Mikey Garcia, because, you know, if you go back and refer back to Rocky Martinez, who was not significantly overwhelming, towering Mikey Garcia, but he did have some height on him that, you know, a lot of times when you make a shorter fighter able to make him kind of look up a little bit, it kind of gives them – it kind of makes them raise their gloves a little bit, a half an inch to even an inch up more than they need to. So that could also leave some of his, you know, rib area to be a target for Robert Easter to throw some of his body shots. But I think that with the difference that I see with Garcia is the IQ. It's always been there. That's that we've everybody took notice right away when you saw the kid step into the ring. He can adjust. His fundamentals are very sound. He rarely ever makes like any mistake, you know, and if he does, he corrects it on the fly, which you always want a fighter to be able to do that. He's got a very good established jab. That's the one thing to me would make the difference is for the Easter camp to understand that in order to even try to find a kink in his armor is you got to take away Mikey Garcia's jab. And you also got to push Mikey Garcia back. You can't allow Mikey Garcia to be so fluent with his movement.
No,
because as you said, he's very fluent.
You got to disrupt his timing. You got to rough him up.
Yeah.
You know, the Lipinets fight, that was a rough and tumble fight, man. That was not easy for him. And it showed his toughness. And I think, you know, some of us, myself included, kind of questioned his toughness a little bit in the Orlando Salido fight. The accidental headbutt that, you know, Garcia got a broken nose and that ended the fight. And you kind of wondered, did they get away with one there? Because the fight was kind of an Orlando Salido fight more than a Mikey Garcia fight at times. Although Salido was down, you know, what, three times in that fight. But you started to wonder, has the old man got a wearing on him? And is he the kind of guy that wants to fight through a broken nose or not? You know, not that he needs to for my pleasure or anything, but you know, it was kind of you kind of check that box and go, huh, let's get back to the toughness question at some point. And he certainly proved it in the Lipinets fight. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to piggyback off your pick there. Just looking at Easter at the weigh-in, I just don't know what his recovery plan is. He's got like, what, 36 hours to get back to normal after, experiencing the all-male anorexic beauty pageant that is weigh-ins today. He looked terrible to me. I don't understand why you'd have your guy even be, at 134.5. I'd be all the way to 35. Maybe that was a mistake, you know, how big it was. I don't know. But I see a shot to the solar plexus somewhere around the middle of the fight in his future. I think Mikey, we're going to see him invest in the body early on in this fight. And like you said, you know, when Easter goes high, Mikey's going to go low, and at some point it's going to cost him. So mid to late rounds,
yeah.
Stoppage for Mikey Garcia.
I honestly see Mikey just jab at the solar plex to soften it up so that when the time is right, he's going to start letting those left hooks, right hooks go to the body. You know, and possibly he's going to buzz him a little bit with an uppercut because, like I said, Robert likes to close that distance on his own. He doesn't need an invitation. You know, he walks through the door, but be okay and willing, you know. So that's what I'm seeing is, like I said, Mikey going out there in the first couple of rounds is jab to the stomach, Andre Ward style, softening up that solar plex so that he can start opening up, and he's going to open it up. Hold on. He's going to open it up with a buzz. I'm sorry, my little guy. He's
like
excited
the dogs
to watch
out there.
The fight too. You know? He's like, oh, I agree with you, Dad. I agree with you. And then he's probably going to catch Easter with an uppercut. And I think that once he sees that the bell's been rung, he's going to close the door by going to the body.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's going to dig in early on. I think people are going to get really excited about him digging in early on. Co-feature here, which I think is going to be interesting all-action fight. Mario Barrios takes on Jose Roman, a fighter I was really high on early on when I was still down in SoCal covering fights. Then he kind of petered out. He had a draw against Javier Garcia, then a loss by split decision to Robert Ossiobe in Vegas. And I used to see him on undercards at the Home Depot Center. And, you know, he's coming off of a loss at
he
the Doubletree Hotel in Ontario, California, back in September of 2017.
Back, yeah. Or did I get lost?
This is
his
first bout of the
it?
Year. It's a pretty tough bout. It's for the vacant World Boxing Association Intercontinental Welterweight title against Mario Barrios, who is And I'll just say his record is Jose Roman is 24-1, 16 knockouts.
Wow.
Mario Barrios, I really like this kid. Jose Roman is 5'11".
Well,
he fights out
really
of Garden
quick.
Grove, California.
The,
Mario Barrios fights out of San Antonio.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's me that got dropped.
70-inch reach, 21-0 with 13 KOs. I don't know how much you've seen of this kid, but well, he's scary.
Only
man.
On a live show.
He knocks fools out.
Only on a live show.
Real lanky, light on his feet. I just love watching him fight. I think you know this fight could go some rounds because I think Roman has got no
hopefully
actually,
we back on.
Are you there, Dave?
It's telling me that I'm on here, so
yeah,
I'll
did you hit the mute
really
button
quick. I'll keep going here on leaving the ring here. Let's
well,
see.
I'll just
they
keep rambling
really add on
until
the
you
list here because
you'll be calling on your phone
that we were going to talk about and break down.
But Jose Roman
here on
is,
on the show. Dillian Whyte and
for
Joseph
night,
Parker heavyweight bout.
You know, I like
Saturday
the kid
as well, which is a really good match.
You know, he's
you know,
he's definitely got you know some knockouts on under his
I think a lot of
under
them,
his belt,
if,
but
not most are picking Whyte.
But Roman is I just think he's a real deal. He's kind of a blue chip prospect, if you will.
Joseph Parker
and
is that
you know Jose Roman is on that cusp. He's 30 years old, so he's turning more into a journeyman if he can't get past.
He's got this talent.
You know, Wilberth
that he doesn't
Lopez,
want to release.
He was 18 and
you got this sense
eight.
That
and
he's
you know,
holding back.
This is the other factor here.
And
you know,
for whatever reason, he's holding.
They're fighting
back
for
against
a welterweight title.
It's just
and,
it's not getting
you know,
him.
This kid generally fights
that nod of,
at
you know, for a win.
Roman below so, that. You know, he's usually more of a lightweight.
I kind
of
believe Whyte.
You know, I think the highest it was his last bout when he was fighting at 140. And
the
here he is facing
wants it more. Where Parker to me,
Mario
got
Barrios.
The, he's got that, you know, that
you
smile,
know,
that
I'm
charisma.
I'm kind of confused. I mean, they're calling it
almost like
a welterweight
got
title.
That
I know that,
of like,
that
I'm
Barrios generally
that
fights.
Here.
He's listed as a super
really
lightweight or you know, junior welterweight, depending
on the top of the
who you talk to.
Where I get that with
so I'm curious to see how this fight goes.
He's kind of hungry.
I'm not sure what happened to Dave.
He wants to keep himself
he was just
relevant
here a second ago.
He wants to keep himself in that circle of heavyweights to be talked about and to possibly get down the line and fight the
Plot
winner Bacon of Anthony. And while
and
that happens,
this is the joy of internet radio because sometimes your internet goes crazy.
He was telling me
and suddenly you're no longer on the air.
I don't know what happened here.
I guess I could try to call Dave in. Sorry about this, folks. Just like I said, this is the beauty of internet radio that sometimes, just sometimes, things get a little bizarre. 201. Sorry, that's a little dead air there. I don't want to get into the main bouts before before I bring Dave back, but I'm not quite sure where he went. I think Dave's going to try and call back in. I'm just communicating with him by text. If you are just tuning in, it is about 45 minutes into the show. This is Leave It in the Ring with Gabriel Montoya, myself, and my co-host, David Duenas. This show is brought to you by our Patreons or our patrons on Patreon. If you want to join up, what Patreon is a it's a platform that allows folks such as ourselves to get paid for doing what we love, which is bringing you boxing news, interviews. We're looking to get you some on Monday, and just boxing talk. We're kind of at a we've been doing something new on the show where on Mondays we do kind of a review of the fights of the past weekend. And then on Fridays, we've been coming back and doing more something like this, like a preview show. Our number one patron is Jim Boone, who runs KOTickets.com. Jim, if you're looking to get tickets to a fight, Jim can get you a great deal. You should check out his website on KOTickets.com. I'm just trying to see if I can get Dave back on the air. I'm not quite sure what went wrong with his interweb. Well, this is very exciting. I know, to listen to me kind of freak out quietly. So anyways, I'm picking Mario Barrios to win by knockout somewhere in the middle of the fight. I love the way the kid goes to the body. He has a real mixed attack. He's an orthodox fighter. So is Jose Ramon. But I just think youth will be served in this fight. So give me Mario Barrios by mid to late rounds knockout. All right, well, I'm going to keep going here because I'm not quite sure what else to do. Later on Saturday night, it's going to be happening earlier. I have to check the TV dates. But on ESPN Plus, the app that has boxing fans nonplussed, at the Civic Center in Kimisee, Florida, Christopher Diaz versus Masayuki Ito. Super featherweights in action and support. The main support bout is Artemio Reyes versus Gabriel Bracero, welterweights in action, or in a 10 rounder. Christopher Diaz, a top ranked prospect. He nice wheels on him. I think, you know, he's a little, not the most fluid fighter in the world. He does have all the punches. He knows how to dig to the body, knows how to come back upstairs after setting that up. You see a 5'6", 64-inch reach. Masayuki Ito, I've watched a bit of tape on him. He's a little bit taller at 5'8.5". I don't know what his reach is. He's 23-1-1 with 12 knockouts. Christopher Diaz is 23-0 with 15 KOs. It's going to be a tough fight. I've watched a bit of tape of Masayuki Ito. He's got kind of a wide guard. His punches kind of tend to come kind of wide and just out of your sight and then come back around. I wouldn't consider him the biggest knockout puncher in the world. Although his last three bouts, he's stopped guys TKO in 9, TKO in 6, and TKO in 9. But the opponent's, you know, a little long in the tooth perhaps, or a little crappy in the record, I would say. His last opponent was 17-9. And, you know, he did what he had to do with a guy like that. But against Christopher Diaz, I'm very curious to see. He's coming overseas. He's facing not the hometown favorite, but certainly, you know, the guy that is favored to win. So I'm just not quite sure. I'm sorry. I seem a little distracted. I'm trying to get Dave back on the air at the same time that I'm doing the show. And that is always a recipe for disaster. Well, just one second. I'm going to do a little troubleshooting here and figure out a way to get Dave back on the show. And I think I've got it figured out. And a call. Oh, yes, I think we're going to have Dave here in just one second, folks. I think I've figured it out. There it is. Let's see if I can get you on the air. Dave?
Yeah.
Say something.
Hello, can you hear me?
Nope. Still not hearing you. Yeah, I'm not really sure what's happening. We've kind of lost the host, and so I'm actually not in control of the show, and that's a bit of the problem here. So, folks, I don't know what to do to bring Dave back, but I'm not really looking forward to just carrying on solo here, because as you can tell, it's a little funky when you're trying to do the show by yourself. So just bear with me right here. This is the joys that I've experienced over the years, being the guy that used to run the boards at Max Boxing's or at the next round. It's just not easy. You've got to kind of split your focus. You're kind of running the board, trying to see if there's any callers on the line, and then you got to, like, you know, keep talking, keep checking the internet. So what I'm doing right now is trying to take over the controls of the show in the middle of the show and hope that that works. Boom. Bang. So now I've
taken over the show
as the host of the show, which is pretty insane. Now we're going to try to call Dave back in to the show. And see if this works. I'll tell you what. Let's see if that works.
Hello.
Dave, are you there?
I can hear you, but you have like a real massive echo. Are we still on the air?
Dave, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can't.
I can't hear you on the show.
That's what's kooky.
Yeah, let's just end it.
Well, I mean, I can hear you on my phone, but I don't know if anybody can actually hear you on the show. And then you hung up.
Well, folks, obviously this has turned into what I would classify as a bit of a shit show. I'll tell you this real quick. I'm picking Christopher Diaz to beat Masayuki Ito. It's not going to be easy. It's probably going to be a decision fight, but this is the kind of fight that Christopher Diaz needs, something of a distance fight. In the Joseph Parker-Dillian White fight, I'm picking Dillian White. I like the way he looked in his last fight. Now, granted, he was fighting pretty much a slab of ham, but in Lucas Brown, who didn't look like he was in shape, didn't look like, so I'm being told there's a massive echo now. I'm picking Dillian White. This has been a terrible experiment in me trying to take over the show after Dave has somehow mysteriously disappeared from the show. For all involved, I'm Gabriel Montoya. For David Duenas and Leave It in the Ring, I'll see you at the fights. Peace.
Peugeot Summer Drive is here. Bask in feel-good summer motoring in an award-winning new Peugeot. Take that extra trip to the beach, turn up at that family barbecue unannounced, or simply drive the long way home, confident in the knowledge that your first two scheduled services will only cost £99. Summer is fleeting. Enjoying carefree new car motoring with Peugeot certainly isn't. Order a brand new Peugeot this summer and get two scheduled services for just £99. Terms and conditions apply. Visit Peugeot.co.uk/summer drive for full details. At participating dealers only.